let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Thank you for joining us on the program today. Online, of course, at thisweekinamerica.us. The delightful children's book by Tina Heinrich, The Adventures of Flopsy and Flathead, is the poetic tale of a group of Rhode Island red chicks actually raised by Tina and her family. Tina grew up in Kansas City, earning a B.S. in biology from Baker University and a teaching certificate from Emporia State University and later a master's degree from Emporia. As a part-time teacher and coach, she was able to spend a lot of time as a stay-at-home mom, raising chickens and three young boys. Tina Heinrich, author of The Adventures of Flopsy and Flathead, our guest on This Week in America. Tina, welcome to the program. It's great to have you with us.
Well, thanks. I appreciate being on.
This is such a charming book, and this is a book I understand what you originally did like 20 years ago and decided the time was right now to bring it back and let a new audience share this. Talk about this. This is 20 years when you first wrote this.
Well, yeah, it was a ways back, but the kids were little, and they were just trying to raise these chickens, and we didn't have a lot of money to publish it, but one of my sons kept bugging me, and every day they'd come in with a new story about the chickens, and then my middle son, I call him the man in the middle, he would say, "Come on, Mom, write a story." I don't know where he got that from, but he would keep bugging me. I said, "Well, okay, I'll write it if you'll do the illustrations," because I knew he had a knack for drawing.
Yes.
And he loved to draw, so that's pretty much how it got started.
You know, it's interesting, looking back on 20 years, what's it like when you go back and you look at that, and it certainly brings back memories, and for the family, what's it like? It's sort of like a trip in a scrapbook going back in time.
Well, it is kind of like a trip back in time, but we still raise chickens, and we still have dogs, and they still go after the chickens, because I guess that's in their nature. We have a German Shepherd now that he got in trouble for killing chickens so much that about the third time he killed a chicken, I thought he was over it until I walked by his pen one day and spotted two yellow legs sticking out from the ground where he buried the chicken that he killed and tried to hide it from him.
The joys and adventures of living on a farm. I mentioned the poetic tale of the story of a Rhode Island red chicks that you raised. Talk about that, because these became like, they were more than just animals in the farm, weren't they? They were family pets.
Yeah, at the time, you know, when we'd get chickens, we'd name them, and we'd have all our little pet names for them, and the boys would have fun playing with them, especially my youngest one. But we've been through so many chickens now, and they've had so many disasters that I kind of gave up on naming them. But back then, we used to name our chickens, and the boys were the ones that come up with the names. When the combs looked a certain way, then they named them Flopsy and Flathead. With the combs on their heads.
And the story in the book, The Adventures of Flopsy and Flathead by Tina Heinrich, our guest on the program, illustrated by her son Josh. We'll be talking about that and the excellent job he did in illustrating the story of Flopsy and Flathead. Out of this group of chickens, these were the only two that survived, so they really became special to you. You had an attachment, didn't you?
Oh, yeah, it's been a while back. Like I said, we've been through quite a few chickens. But
yes.
Yeah, they lived quite a while, actually. And it was pretty amazing that they were able to take over the dog pen and live in the dog pen. And the dogs learned their lesson not to eat the chickens. Of course, they weren't German Shepherds either, but...
What lessons did this teach the kids in raising this? It seemed like the whole family came together during this experience.
Oh, yeah, my husband, the kid's dad, thought that would be pretty fun for them to learn to raise chicks. And, you know, it gives them some experience in taking care of animals other than the dogs, you know. And my youngest to this day still raises chickens and ducks, and he's really into it. He was the one that used to tease the rooster. He was kind of tall for his age, and he'd stick his... arms, fold his arms like wings and stick them under his armpits and stick his neck out and pretend he was a rooster. He did that for fun, and then the rooster chased him, and he came in one day. Mom, rooster tries to peck me. And so ever since, he was messing with the roosters, and he's always liked the chickens. So That's the youngest one. He's not the one that wrote the did the illustrations.
Yeah, the book is The Adventures of Flopsy and Flathead. It's now available. You, of course, will find it Amazon, wherever books are sold, also at bookventure.com in the bookstore. And you can link on directly to get information on the book and Tina at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Let's talk about some of the adventures, because it's interesting. They really didn't have much of a fear of the dogs, did they?
Well, no. Little animals are fearless, just like little humans. And you know, we watch our little humans a little better than our little chicks.
Yes.
And we weren't real experienced in this. We didn't really have a coop for them, and they were just wandering around the yard. And the dogs, in the meantime, were licking their chops, saying, what do we have here? So we soon learned that it was not a good idea to leave the chicks and the dogs unguarded.
Well, yes. And they enjoyed the dog pen, too, didn't they? That became sort of like a hangout for them.
Yeah, I don't know. They were pretty smart dogs. They understood after they killed those first two chickens that they better not touch them. And somehow the chickens figured out that they could go in the pen and stay there and not get eaten or attacked. Maybe they were drawn in there because we kept straw in the dog houses for the dogs, and there's always some seed on it. But when they started going in the pen, the dogs realized, we'd be in big trouble if we mess with these chickens. They're off limits.
Well, it's interesting. The chickens going through the same transition that we as humans do during the change of season, going from summer to winter and back into spring again. And you really don't think a lot about that, but they go through the same things, experiences that we do. And they're illustrated and written very nicely in the book, The Adventures of Flopsy and Flathead. When the decision was, you mentioned that you talked about this and the son bringing up that you really needed to do this. How difficult a decision was it to actually, because it required some work. I mean, your writing is, it's really well done. It requires some time to put this together in the poetic manner that you did. What was that decision like to actually write the book? And it seems like it sort of what took on maybe a life of its own.
I think it did. After my son had convinced me I needed to write the story, and really the golfing incident, for which my oldest son is very apologetic about. He came in crying, "I've never even killed a flea." Anyway, that probably sent me over the edge. Well, okay, I'll write it. But for some reason, it came out in a cadence. In the state of Kansas, where the grasses grow, which is what I originally thought, and then I changed that with this new publication to In the State of Kansas, Where the Prairies Grow. Because a lot of people think you should say where the grass grows, but prairies have many different types of grasses. Originally that's what it said, but I thought that might be confusing. So In the State of Kansas, Where the Prairies Grow, of two red chicks, two red ladies I happen to know, and it just came out that way out of my head. So I thought, well, this could be kind of a nice little rhyming story, and I just thought about the events that happened, and it kind of came out in a rhyme. It really didn't take that long to write, but my son, boy, he had to work a long time on those illustrations.
Well, he was what, like 9, 10 years old at the time?
Yeah, he was pretty much 10. He may have started out at 9 and then been close to his birthday and become 10, and, you know, over the year, we finally got around to the first publication in 98 when he was probably 11 by then.
Yeah, as I'm looking at this, because these illustrations are really well done, they really help describe the text in the story. What was that like for him? Because there are a lot of pictures in there and a lot of interpretation he needed to do. That was almost like a full-time job for him at the time.
Well, he would go to his art teacher who was really good with watercolor, and she gave him all kinds of ideas on how to use his watercolor paintbrush. But he's just very... he's got cartoon images in his head, and they just come out that way. So, you know, as far as depicting the story, it probably was not that hard for him. And he'd just spend an hour or so with the art teacher, and she'd help him out with the colors, and he'd get the design down and get it done. But I must admit that near the end, he was, you know, there's a lot of pictures in there.
Yes, yes.
He was getting, like, oh, Mom, do I have to continue? You know, because he's 10, and he just wanted to get it done.
Well, yeah.
I just encourage him. Yeah, you're almost done. You'll get there.
I'm sure when he started, he didn't think it was going to be, you know, this massive book, which it wasn't, but to him it probably looked like it. It's, can you quit with the chapters here so I can get back outside and play with the rest of the kids? Because there are a lot of pictures in there, and he really did an excellent job. Did he end up pursuing anything in terms of graphic arts, that type of thing?
No, he's still an artist. He does that as a hobby, and a musician. He does that as a hobby. He's actually an electrician.
Okay, but he's still doing that on the side, so that is good. Well, I know you've always wanted to do writing. What was this experience like for you? And then you've got a second book out that we'll be talking about coming up, also author of The Lumpa Rupper, and we'll be talking about that on a future program. But what was that experience like for you? Because you got to practice something that you've wanted to do for a while.
Well, I've always written some things, you know, ever since I was a kid. I'd be writing things and just set it aside and put it away. And I'd written some poetry. My great uncle was a great poet, and I think I got some influence from him. So it was kind of interesting that it just came out, you know. I just started thinking about the story, and it flowed out in a cadence. So it was kind of surprising. And it also is surprising that it came together real well with my son's pictures and the story in itself.
Yeah, it was sort of almost like a project that had to be. You had this chance to express yourself, and obviously it wasn't that difficult to express yourself. And your son was there with the pictures, and it ended up being a family project that's now released. With the book is The Adventures of Flopsy and Flathead. Tina Heinrich, our guest on the program, that's H-E-I-N-R-I-C-H. Illustrated by Josh Heinrich. The book is available at bookventure.com at their bookstore, Amazon, of course, and you can link on directly to get information on the book and to order the book by going to our website, thisweekinamerica.us. Talk about what makes a good children's book. This book, as I'm reading it, it's very entertaining, and there's some messages in there as well. Are those the elements of a good children's book?
As we'll probably mention in my other book, The Lumpa Rupper, I think you have to have good pictures, and there has to be some emotion in the pictures where you can look at it and you can see something going on. And
yes,
the pictures in Flopsy and Flathead, my son put emotion into the sun, which reflected the emotion of what was actually going on in the story. And so you'd look up at the sun. One of my favorites is when the dogs are about to get in trouble for having, you know, I don't want to be a spoiler alert, but it's kind of obvious that from 5 to 2, something happened. When the dogs were playing with the chickens and they killed a couple, and they're looking up at the sun with their peace symbol on their little paws, and Dad is all furious because they killed the chicks, and his son has got his little two fingers out, peace, brother. You know, so, you know, those little things where the pictures grab your emotion is important. I think the storyline has to move along, and it can't get bogged down with too much detail. And it has to be fun, maybe a little sense of humor here and there where you can laugh a little bit. And then probably the fourth thing is that it might have a little lesson or something to be learned from the story.
Do that very well, because I would assume it has to be settled. You can't say, okay, kids, here's a great book. It's going to teach you a lesson. This is a book that's going to be educational, because I would assume you'll lose them right at that point. But with the with the humor,
you tell a kid to do something, they hear, don't do it.
Yes, exactly. But you work that in there, so when it's done. And it's especially nice, I'm assuming this is a book that could be very well, as I'm looking through it, it's like, this would be great for a child to pick up the book and read, or a parent, grandparent, to read to a child and have some discussion on some of these aspects of it as they're reading the book.
Well, that might be true. It is a little more advanced. I would say that children of an older age might enjoy reading it themselves.
Yes.
I have noticed with my kids when they were young, it would have to be more to the point quicker, because young children don't really have the patience to sit through a cadenced poetic tale like an older child would.
Right.
I would say somebody maybe from 5th to 8th grade might really enjoy it, and or even 4th grade. Somebody who can read on their own, and it also gives kids the idea that you don't always have to write straight sentences. You can write
yes.
with a cadence and some rhythm and rhyme.
And I'm sure it's attractive to them because it's a little bit different probably than most of what they're reading, either in school or recreational reading. What kind of reaction are you getting? I know the book has just been released, but you've got family, you've got new family members that are reading it for the first time. What kind of reaction are you getting?
Well, they seem to like it and enjoy the pictures and the rhythm of the rhyme, and the stories are funny that are in it, so they like it.
And well, they should. It's really a project well done. It's called The Adventures of Flopsy and Flathead. Tina Heinrich is the author, her son Josh, the illustrator, and he was 9, 10 years old at the time when he did that. It's just such a professional job that he did at that age with the illustrations. The book is available at bookventure.com at the bookstore. You, of course, will find it at Amazon. Link on to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, to get more information on the book. And Tina is also the author of The Lump Rupper, and we'll be talking about that on a future program. Tina, a pleasure having you on the program. I'm really glad you made the decision to come back and update this and bring it back 20 years later. It's a charming book. Thank you so much for being with us on the program today.
Well, thank you. I'm glad to be able to talk a little bit about the book, so thanks a lot.
It's an excellent book, a charming book, The Adventures of Flopsy and Flathead. Tina Heinrich is the author and our guest. You'll find all the information available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. And we're back on today's program right after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.